A proposal from the company that controls much of Skagway's port draws emotional responses. And former Superintendent Tony Habra will receive a settlement from the Haines School District. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more, up next. Skagway's cruise ship tourism will take a hit if the city doesn't quickly renovate its port. But the company that controls much of the town's waterfront wants an extended lease in order to make way for improvements. This conundrum stirred emotional pleas from residents and equally emotional responses from assembly members at a meeting Thursday night. KHNS's Emily Files reports.
I'm mad as hell.
Gayla Heights was one of several Skagway residents who expressed their distrust of White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. White Pass has leased a major chunk of the town's port since the 1960s. The railroad has become a wildly successful tourism operation, but its lease expires in about 5 years, and it wants reassurance that its stake in the port will continue beyond 2023. So White Pass has an offer for Skagway. In return for a 20-year lease extension, it will build the floating addition on the ore dock that the town desperately needs to accommodate bigger cruise ships.
A child could hear the implicit threat. If you don't give us a new lease now, we won't let you have the dock expansion.
Resident Elaine Furbish urged the assembly not to rush into approving a lease extension.
People and businesses of Skagway tell White Pass that you don't think they deserve a new lease if they hold the ore dock expansion and thus everybody else's profit and livelihood hostage. Tell them that if they clear the way now for the ore dock expansion, that you will support negotiating a new lease that is good for their profits and good for Skagway. And tell your assembly members that you back them on standing strong during this manufactured crisis.
Manufactured crisis is not accurate.
Steve Burnham Jr. was not the only assembly member to emphasize how critical the loss would be if Skagway doesn't renovate its ore dock by 2019. Orion Hansen said it would send Skagway into a recession. He said White Pass's lease proposal, with some tweaking, looks like a pretty good deal.
Signing off on a recession is not something that I think anybody in this room wants to see happen. We have all our eggs in the cruise ship basket. We know that. To say otherwise is just, it's ludicrous. That's what our economy is. It's one of the hardest things I've ever been a part of in my life.
I've spent a lot of sleepless nights on this.
Recently appointed assembly member Monica Carlson had a different take than her peers. She was the most anti-lease of the group.
There are too many questions surrounding the new lease. The city has every right to move forward with a floating dock. We need to think 20, 30, 40 years from now, when our children and grandchildren are sitting at this table, will we be true city leaders as Mayor Firo, or will we be the ones who voted for a new lease out of fear?
Carlson pointed to a section of Skagway Code that says a lessor has the right to grant easements or right-of-ways on leased land if it is in the best interest of the municipality. She said Skagway should use that right and forge full speed ahead on ore dock improvements if White Pass doesn't cooperate. But Carlson was in the minority. The other assembly members leaned towards working with White Pass and negotiating some kind of lease extension. Tim Cochran listed good things the railroad has done for the community.
It's not just this big corporation taking. They do give back to the community. And I think if we can get around that, work with them, get the best we can for each other, get a dock in there, address the mitigation, we can do a little better on this, but I think we're in the right direction, but we've got to move fast.
The assembly scheduled a special meeting on July 12th to dig more into the details of the lease proposal. You can read the full proposal on the KHNS or Skagway Municipality websites. The economic anxiety shadowing the port discussion was palpable throughout the meeting. It played into the assembly's rejection of an ordinance that would have moved a sales tax increase toward a public vote. The sales tax hike would fund what is currently projected to be a $17 million recreation center expansion and aquatic wellness center. Assemblyman Cochran said the municipality incurring more bond debt to, in part, build a pool would be irresponsible. Cochran added that it isn't the city's responsibility to teach kids to swim. Reporting in Haines, I'm Emily Files.
The Haynesboro School District will pay about $66,000 to former Superintendent Tony Habra. On Thursday, the board voted to accept Habra's resignation. He had been on the job about a year. The decision happened after the board met behind closed doors for the fourth time to discuss Habra's first yearly evaluation and contract. Few details have been revealed about the circumstances surrounding Habra's departure. He declined to comment for this story. But in a letter addressed to Board President Anne-Marie Palmieri, he said, quote, "A variety of circumstances have dictated a need for me to return to Michigan for the best interests of my family." Palmieri has declined to discuss why the school board made this decision. Officially, Habra resigned, but he's receiving a settlement, and there is nothing in his contract that explains why he would be compensated for resigning. Calls to the school's attorney to better understand how the settlement came about were not returned by airtime. Habra had a 3-year contract with the district, but it's ending early. The district and Habra came to a settlement and release agreement. It awards Habra about $66,000. That's more than half his annual salary of $113,000. In return, Habra promises not to take legal action against the district for reasons related to his employment. Habra's contract does say he's entitled to 6 months severance pay in the event that his employment is terminated unilaterally by the board. In that scenario, they would need to give 30 days notice. The board tentatively scheduled a meeting for July 12th at 9 a.m. to discuss next steps. For sport anglers in southeast Alaska having a slow day trying for salmon or halibut this August, there will be no plan B for bottom-dwelling rockfish. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game is closing all sport fishing for non-pelagic rockfish in outside waters from Yakutat to Ketchikan for 3 weeks beginning August 1st to conserve these long-lived, slow-growing species. Those fishing inside waters will have a bag limit of one. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Troy Tydenko sits at a table in his office in Sitka where he's the sport fish management biologist. Spread out before him is what appears to be a fairly menacing arsenal of tools to hook, pinch, clamp, or otherwise catch fish. But actually, this is life-saving equipment for rockfish.
You've probably seen where their stomach comes out and their bodies pop out. And if you can get them back down quickly, where they're back under pressure, it kind of reverses those effects.
Barotrauma is as deadly as it sounds. Tydenko says only 20% of rockfish survive it. On the other hand, 95% of the rockfish released with one of these devices live. For 3 weeks, from August 1st through 22nd, sport anglers in outside waters are going to have to let all non-pelagic rockfish go at 100 feet of depth. Just as charter operators have been doing for several years, all fishermen are going to have a deep release mechanism with them on the boat. Doesn't have to be fancy, even though it can be. Tydenko's got one he's made from an 8-inch piece of rebar with a big fishing hook taped to it. The barb on the hook has been pinched down. Tydenko ties 100 feet of line to his homemade release mechanism and cleats it off to his boat. When the rockfish is back under pressure, it recovers instantly, slides off the hook, and heads for the bottom. Another commercial mechanism has a pressure-activated switch that allows users to choose a depth.
Some people use these on their downrigger. Send them down and they pop right open.
In addition to closing the coastal waters of southeast Alaska to the retention of rockfish, the emergency order also limits sport anglers on inside waters around Ketchikan, Petersburg, Wrangell, and Juneau to one non-pelagic rockfish a day. But the effect is nearly the same. After that first fish, you'll have to release all the others, also at a depth of 100 feet. This is the first time ADF&G has closed the rockfish sport fishery, but it's not out of concern that sport anglers have been catching too many. According to data gathered in the statewide harvest survey, creel survey, and charter logbooks, the harvest has remained fairly constant at about 16% of the total allowable catch, or TAC, for non-pelagic rockfish. Instead, it's the TAC itself that's dropping from 66 metric tons in 2006 to 35 metric tons this year. This is of concern. Rockfish don't rebound the way some other species do. In fact, their lifespans are better than ours. And Tidinko says they're slow to reproduce. Again, depending on the species, some rockfish don't reach sexual maturity for at least 12 years. Other than conserving stocks, there's no biological objective behind the August closure. We could have chosen any 3 weeks, Tidinko says. We wanted to make sure there were plenty of coho around to target instead. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us this evening.